Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of June 18, 2021. This week, we pray for those dealing with various storms in their lives, for those who are dealing with personal conflicts, those dealing with surgeries and cancers and illnesses and conditions, those dealing with spiritual struggles with sin and for real spiritual struggles which are beyond their control. If this podcast helps you, if you would, please share a link with a friend. Our first reading comes from the 38th chapter of Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed." Our second reading comes from the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. There the Apostle Paul writes, "Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also." Our gospel reading comes from the 4th chapter of St. Mark. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the reading for our discussion comes from Genesis chapter 40. All of our readings come from the English Standard Version of Scripture. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody, and one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We've had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you." On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dreams can be powerful and frightening. For us, they may have powerful significance, or on the other hand, seem as random and senseless and frightening as a Salvador Dali painting. Joseph has a gift for interpreting dreams, but he only does so by the power of God. And if any dream truly has significance for the future, it is only so by the power of God. When we were kids, I think there was a time when we all wish we could have superpowers, times when we could fly or breathe underwater, or when we think of the Savior walk on water like Jesus. Joseph's superpower is interpreting dreams, but it wasn't his superpower, as we'll soon see. He was in jail with the cupbearer and the chief baker of Pharaoh. They had committed an offense against Pharaoh, and now Joseph was pulled into their lives. When I was growing up, they used to like to have a lot of miniseries on television, and I ate these things up. Stories about Marco Polo or historical fiction or science fiction. They would come on at a time of the evening when I knew I would have to go to bed right in the middle when things were getting really good. As I have said, Joseph's life is epic, like a miniseries. And in the epic of God's people, we might call Joseph's story part one. And part two, that's the story of Moses. But we begin with a flashback to Abram, to a prophecy when Abram was told that his descendants would spend 400 years in Egypt under slavery. It was a powerful moment. In Genesis chapter 15, God comes to Abram in a vision, and he tells him he will have countless descendants like the stars in the sky. And God showed him the stars. And now the God who brought him out of Ur commanded a sacrifice, a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He cut them all in half and waited on God. The sun went down. Abram slept deeply, and a great darkness fell on him. And the Lord told him, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age." A smoking fire pot and flaming torch passed between the pieces of the sacrifices, marking the covenant. And God confirmed that the land from Egypt to the Euphrates would be Abram's, and in the times to come, it would belong to his descendants. Flashing forward to Joseph, we see Joseph in jail, the baker and cupbearer before Joseph. They were troubled by their dreams. They want to know what they mean. "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me," says Joseph. So we are transported into their dreams. Think of how your own dreams develop. They are a series of scenes, aren't they? Many times they don't even make any sense, or what you are dreaming has to do with the TV show that you watched the night before. Not so with the cupbearer and the chief baker. I'm going to paraphrase the text a bit. The cupbearer shares his dream with Joseph. "There was a vine before me. On the vine, three branches. It budded. Its blossoms shot forth. Clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed it in Pharaoh's hand." Joseph gives the answers. "Three branches are 3 days. 3 days, and Pharaoh will lift up your head to restore your office, and you will be his cupbearer. Remember me," says Joseph, "when it is well with you. Do me this kindness. Get me out of this place. I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. I'm innocent," says Joseph, "yet they put me in this pit." The chief baker is encouraged by the cupbearer's good news and gets excited. "I also had a dream. 3 cake baskets on my head. In the top one, baked goods for Pharaoh. Birds were eating out of the basket on my head." Joseph answers grimly, "The 3 baskets are 3 days. 3 days, and Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and birds will eat the flesh from you." The two were taken out of prison. Sure enough, the chief cupbearer was restored. The chief baker was hanged. But we are dismayed with Joseph at the words of the last verse. "Yet the chief cupbearer forgot Joseph. Has someone ever let you down? Forgotten you when they got to the top? Neglected you when they had what they wanted? There was a purpose here. It was not yet in God's timing that Joseph was to leave prison. Not yet to come before Pharaoh. But God tucked this one in his pocket. He never forgot Joseph. What was to come had to happen in God's timing. The gears had to move properly into place. Then everything would open up for Joseph. The storm would be clear and everything would make sense. There are going to be things in your own lives where you may go, huh? Where something was necessary, your position at a particular time and place was required. Yet, you have no understanding of the reason why that took place. Maybe you realize a little later. It was a really dumb thing. I had a lemon on my hands, a 1983 Mercedes SEL 380. And the year was 2001, I believe. My friend Rob came down from Wisconsin to help me with it. There was a chip that it required to govern the idling of the vehicle. The vehicle would stop in traffic. When everything was busy all around you, the vehicle would just stop. Finding a computer chip for a 1983 Mercedes SEL 380? Good luck with that one. But we traveled all over to the salvage yards of the Louisville area to see if we could find that chip, to find one from a vehicle that was no longer in operation. My friend Rob said, "Wear your clerical collar. You never know what kind of discount they'll give you for being a pastor." It is true. Sometimes pastors get a discount from kindly folks that offer them. We went far and wide to find this chip to no avail. But toward the end of the day, a young man, probably around our ages, maybe a tad younger, came up to us. He looked troubled. He had just been shot recently and was still dealing with his wounds. And though he looked pretty good for someone who had been through that, he wanted to know if we would pray for him. In the midst of the salvage yard, we prayed for him. I don't know where he came from. I haven't seen him since. But of the man, Rob said that a peace seemed to come over the young man's face. Was it the peace which passes all understanding? The peace we announce in the benediction? Yes, there are a lot of weeds among the good harvest, and yet the good harvest is everywhere around us in spite of the weeds. God is looking out for us. He is looking out for his children. And we are going to encounter people who need him. As the sun set on that day, my search for a chip for a 1983 car was entirely fruitless. My owning the car and driving it was short-lived. But I believe there was a reason why we were all brought together at that time in that place. Yeah, the search was a waste of time. But the day wasn't. And I'm certain that things like that may happen in your life too. I think they happen all the time. The Apostle Paul writes, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, I stand before you. Your purposes are mystery to me. I pray, Lord, that my days on this earth will be fruitful, a blessing to those you bring into my life, and that my works, small though they may be, may glorify you. Help us all to see your work in our lives, to know that our days are not without fruit. In Jesus' name, we pray it. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord, Heavenly Father, your Son calmed the storm, telling it to be still. And Lord, we all have storms in our lives that we need to be still. We pray for those who are dealing with personal conflicts and difficulties. Help the people involved to work out their troubles. Be with those who are facing the storms of surgeries, cancers, various illnesses, and conditions. Bring them healing and restoration and calm the fears of those who feel like their boat is going under. Help them to know that you are with them. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray for those going through spiritual struggles, for those dealing with sin in their lives who want to do well, but are facing painful and difficult struggles. And we pray for those who are facing spiritual struggles in the day and in the night, which cannot be explained by the everyday world, but go on nonetheless. We pray that you would powerfully calm these spiritual storms and restore those who face them, that they may float on the top of the still waters with you, who are always with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our verse for the day is from Mark chapter 4, verse 41. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You can follow and share this podcast on the Podbean site.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. My zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. Dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide. Mid darkness turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold soul and stream, above a ransomed soul.